you turn your Bibles with me to 1 Samuel, the 17th chapter. Ministers, you may come to the front row. In 1 Samuel, the 17th chapter, there are several verses and we will be skipping around. Yes. Beginning at verse 28, we will read verse 28, 29, verse 30, 45, 46, and 47. I'll call them as we go, but beginning at verse 28 of chapter 17. And Eliab, his eldest brother, heard when he spake unto the men, 1 Samuel 17, 28. And Eliab's anger was kindled against David. And he said, why comest thou down hither? And with whom hast thou left those few sheep in the wilderness? I know thy pride and the naughtiness of thine heart. But thou art come down that thou mightest see the battle. Verse 29 says, and David said, what have I now done? Is there not a cause? And he turned from him toward another and spake after the same manner. And the people answered him again after the former manner. Verse 45. Then said David to the Philistine, thou comest to me with a sword, and with a spear, and with a shield. But I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. This day will the Lord deliver thee into mine hand, and I will smite thee. Take thine head from thee, and I will give the carcasses of the host of the Philistines this day unto the fowls of the air and to the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. Verse 47, and all this assembly shall know that the Lord saveth not with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands. If you don't mind, will you return to verse 29, which will serve as the basis for our message today. And David said, what have I now done? Is there not a cause? And he turned from him toward another and spake after the same manner. And the people answered him again after the former manner. Is there not a cause? I'd like to speak to you for a few minutes from the topic, a cause worth fighting for. A cause worth fighting for, and the word of God is blessed. My dear brothers and sisters, just for a few minutes, let me remind you that the call of God is not a stagnant experience or an end in itself. It is an, in fact, ever unfolding new journey of faith. It is an adventure characterized by movement, mobility, in which God takes his people from glory to glory, from where we are, and leads us to where he wants us to be. It starts in time and it ends in eternity. It begins the moment when we accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and as our Savior, and it continues until we actually hear him say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." All of God's children have received at least three calls, three divine calls. The first call is the call to salvation. Those who receive this call are basically renewed and delivered from sin. The second call is the call to discipleship, in which we are asked to follow God's will in our lives through the study of Jesus' word. And then the third call is the call to service or ministry, empowered and guided by God. Those who receive this call cheerfully and sacrificially serve God, but not only do they serve God, but they serve humanity. And so it is that in our text today, we hear, or see rather, the call once again of God on the life of David. Near the end of President Bush's speech to Congress and the nation, a few days after 9/11, September 11th, 2001, he said these words: "After all that has just passed, all the lives taken, and all the possibilities and hopes that died with them, it is natural to wonder if America's future will be one of constant fear. Some speak of an age of terror. I know that there are struggles ahead and dangers to face, but this situation will define our times, not be defined by them. As long as the United States of America is determined and strong, this will not be an age of terror. This will be an age of liberty here and across this land." End quote. That is a profound and true thought that all of us here today must determine whether our giants, the circumstances, the situations in our lives will define us, or whether we will define them. In the familiar story of David and Goliath, we see that truth played out. Saul and Israel were allowing the Philistines, their enemies, those persons that were against them, to define them. David was a different kind of a man, however. He intended to define his times through the grace and power of God. And what you got to understand, brothers and sisters, is that all of us will be faced with giants in our lives. Amen. And if you will, once you get rid of one giant,
go ahead, Bishop.
There's always another giant coming behind. Tell somebody the giants just keep on coming. It is a part of life to be faced with giants, because the immortal words of some writer said that into each life some rain must fall. But then this same man whose life is again capitalized in this first volume of Samuel said in Psalms that weeping may endure for a night. Just give me about 15 minutes and I'll be out of here. But joy will come in the morning. You're going to be faced with giants. David looked and saw the fierce foe. You've got to understand the background into which we are thrust in this message, because in our situations, in our circumstances in life, we've got to either determine whether or not we're going to stand and fight for what we believe in, or whether that circumstance or that situation is going to overtake us. Here were the Philistines on one mountain and the children of Israel on another mountain, and these giants, these enemies, were constantly saying to the people of God that we are going to kill you. They were saying to them that you have no future. Isn't it strange how there are people that will come into your life who will try to determine your destiny? I remember when I left the other church, and after I had admitted to drug addiction some years ago, and I remember standing up and telling the people I couldn't preach to you no more, and I was going to get my life together. And when we started Covenant on July 4th, 1993, there were some who said, yeah, Carswell may be able to preach, but he'll never come back. Oh my God, help me somebody. I made up in my mind that nobody was going to determine my destiny. You got people that you know, that people that are around you, you got kinfolk, and sometimes your biggest distractors are family. Y'all ain't got to say nothing to me. I'm right, and I feel like preaching. Sometimes the folk that are the closest to you are the ones that will discourage you. They'll tell you, nobody has ever done that. You shouldn't try that. Are you sure you're going to make it? Are you sure that you're going to get through this? They will be against everything you try to do, because they don't want to see you make it. See, misery of God loves company. And they don't want you to do anything. Somebody help me here. And folk would categorize you. They said, well, you'll never make it, Carswell. Nobody's going to back you. You have no denominational backing. Where are you going to get your deacons from? Where's the choir coming from? How are you going to get your salary? Who's going to pay you? All right, blah, 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 blah. And I made up in my mind that if I had to crawl, I'm going to make it. I'm not, y'all ain't saying that. I want to talk to some real people, that some folk has closed and let the curtain down on your life, and because you made a mistake in your life, and because you're not doing it like they want you to do it, they're going to tell you, you can't make it. Look at somebody and say, the devil is out. We got these folk who will categorize you. And I hate that, as much as I hate to say it, church people. Because y'all the biggest gossipers and the biggest haters. Look at how you're looking at me. I must be talking about some of y'all. Because if I wasn't, you'd be saying amen to me. Y'all the biggest backstabbers in the church.
Church folk. Go ahead,
I passed down the street the other day, and some fellas were standing on with a bottle in a bag. Men. And one take a drink and he passed it to the other. Another take a drink, he passed it to the other. And right in the church, not only in Covenant, in most of these churches, where these Negroes are coming together, talking about they're saved and sanctified and filled with the Holy Ghost, not to mention passing a drink, we don't even want to say, hey. I'm going to get all in your stuff today. Y'all celebrated last week, so let me preach today. And we in the church, we categorize. We come in with our Sunday go to meeting outfits on. That's why after the day, I want everybody to come as you are. Take these suits off. And if you so holy, you got to be in a suit, fine. You dress like you are. But if the bishop come in here with some jeans and khakis and Air Force Ones and some Tim's on, don't you look at me funny. Because it ain't what you. I'm sorry, I got guests here today, I ain't gonna have it. But I got 99 problems. And ever since I can remember, I've been. Y'all got to understand that people will categorize you. I know y'all talking about you need to find a new song, but I've been popping my car. Some dirt off of me. Y'all want holy. I just keep it real. And here they are, their enemies. Standing over there. Don't let nobody categorize you. You may not have the outfit that they have. You may not live where they live. You may not have the money that they have, because the folks. Try to fly if y'all ain't ready for it. You can tell a broke Negro, a broke. Y'all ain't talking to me. Because a broke Negro always wants you to see what they got on. I'm going to get all in your stuff today. I bet you I'm going to get you today. You tell them, ooh, that look good. That outfit is nice. They got to go talk about that. You know, I bought this from Santa. Nobody has it.
Go ahead, Bishop.
And folks are trying to make you feel bad. But baby, let me tell you something. I may not have what you have. I may not be able to wear what you got on. Folks may talk about me. They may laugh at me. They may say that I'm not going to make it. But just keep on watching me. Ah, y'all ain't talking to me. That before you know it, I'm going to be leaving Egypt, man. I can run now. The doctor told me my leg is all right. Folk will categorize you.
Yes,
somebody say preach, Bishop. They will categorize you. You know, these folks sitting up in church. Ask them how they're doing. Fine. I'm looking at some of mine, but I see about it. From a place that you can't even pronounce. And trying to talk like they from London, England. Y'all ain't gonna talk to me now. Huh? You tell them to raise their hand and they know God's been good to them. They know if it had not been somebody in this. For the Lord on their side, they wouldn't even be here. And you tell them to say hallelujah, they gonna hallelujah. Where I came from, when they said hallelujah, they said hallelujah. They didn't just say it because somebody told them to say it. Y'all too dressed up over here. Let me talk to some folks. They didn't say thank you, Jesus, because somebody told them to say thank you, Jesus. They started taking a walk down memory lane and started thinking about when they didn't have no food and Say church folk. Church folk can be your biggest enemies. Look at you with your stuck up self. Look at you with your arrogant self trying to look holy in front of the bishop and then get out on the parking lot. I'm going to get you today. And stop talking. Did you see what kind of shoes she had on? That don't even go with that. Did you? Look at her hair. She thought it was good, but them tracks were all off track. Look at them lead press on nails. Look at church folk. I ain't ready to come in yet. I'm too comfortable still. But I got to get some of y'all. Because you know what? I want the church. I want covenant to be different.
Yes, Lord.
Than all these other clubs around here. I don't want no career microwave. Never done no wrong, people. Y'all ain't talking to me. I'm tired of preaching to the choir. I'm looking for somebody who gonna messed up in life. I'm looking for some folk, some under the bridge people. Can you tell me one more time? Preach that thing. Problem is, we just preaching to each other every Sunday. God wants some folk who gonna been through something. How can I tell my son not to take drugs if I ain't never did? And the problem with y'all is y'all trying to make y'all children think you've been all of that all of your life. You never got anything wrong. You need to tell them I messed up. I was wrong. I cheated. I ain't talking to none of y'all. I want some real people here. I used to be an alcoholic. Matter of fact, need to tell you, look under the mattress now, it's a bottle. I ain't gonna walk on y'all. Well, I gotta go. Still attack, still signs on one mountain, children of Israel on another mountain. Check this out. Y'all be seeing. They're looking for somebody to fight.
That's right.
And here are the church people.
Come on.
Here are the church folk. The hallelujah. Coming on the motorcycle. Come on, bitch. What the Bible says, let me make it there for you. It was the children of Israel. Church folk. They couldn't move. Oh my God. What I'm saying, listen, here you are every day faced with giants. This world is faced with giants. And the church is scared. Oh, you pretty, but you're scared. You look good, but you're scared. You got on your sunny face, but you still scared. Who you scared of? Scared of the bill collector? Because you be telling your children to lie and tell them you ain't home. Y'all ain't talking. You look at the caller ID. I ain't talking about it. You see the number on the name, and now they call, and it says out of area. Y'all ain't talking to nobody. And you don't even answer the phone if you can't identify the number. Woo! Look at somebody and say, "Skrr." Yeah. Look at me. Cause of the giants. So look, I gotta go. I got another engagement. Listen. No, I ain't gonna get up here. No. Yes, I am gonna get up here. Yes, I am gonna get up here. Look at this. Look at this. Look. The Philistine. No, I didn't come down here. Philistine says, yo, come on. I wonder if somebody did get after me. With y'all niggas, I mean. They saying, we gonna kill you. Church folk, scared.
Scared.
Guess what? So the Philistine said, send me.
Uh-oh.
Hold on. Send me a man.
That's right. That's what he said, bitch. I will go out.
Not a boy. Say, I need a man. Women, don't be trying to play. You need a man. You're a right if you got him. Some of y'all, because that's what's wrong with you now. You got him. Tell him, I need a man. Back on the back row, y'all talking about, tell somebody, I need a man. He said, send me a man. Can I tell you what's wrong with society now? We ain't got enough men. Y'all ain't talking to me. We got a lot of boys, we got a lot of girls, but we don't have no man. If the church had more men.
That's right. Go ahead, bitch.
Y'all ain't gonna get mad at me.
Tell it, bitch.
If I tell y'all, my blood pressure would be much lower if I had more men. Can I tell you that our young men would not go astray? Oh God, I'm preaching here. If we had more men, men to mentor our young boys, some young men go astray because they don't have no role model. Do you know how many, before I leave here today, I give out $200 or $300 or more to young men that I mentor. Listen, I don't need no clap.
Hallelujah.
I gotta stay here.
Glory.
We need some men.
That's right, Bishop.
I'm wondering, I'm concerned, what's going to happen to our children? What's going to happen to my daughter? Where's Quinday? Where's Quinday? Stand up, baby. I worry, I pray for her all the time, but I'll use her as an example because some of you got daughters.
That's right.
Where is the selection? Y'all ain't talking to me. I got a goddaughter over there, Kwanisha. I got Kwanisha. I got others in here that I know. But it ain't, the picket is kind of slim to none. Look at somebody and say, I need a man. Y'all ain't saying, say, I need a man. Yeah.
get this straight. Just say, I'm straight. Because some of y'all I just saw talking about I'm straight has come to me and said, Bishop, when did it come to you? And
hook me up, Bishop.
Hook me up, dude.
Hey, Vic, I went in the court the other day. Vic, 14-year-old boy. I took my son, our youth pastor, into the court, 14 years old, standing before a judge for armed robbery and murder. And I asked him after, I said, son, why did you do this? Why did you go this direction? He said, Mr. Collins, well, I had nobody. He said, Mama worked all night. Woo. So when you have some food on our table, y'all ain't talking to me. I said, well, baby, is your daddy still in? He said, yes. I just saw him on Bankhead. Just how we need some men. Y'all ain't talking to me because if we had men, our society would be much better because the man is the head. The man, the family coming behind. Y'all ain't talking to me. That's why brothers of this church, not only deacons, but I'm talking to every man in here. You don't have time to be shuffling and jiving. You don't have time to take no time off. You ain't got time for this business of talking about I'm busy and I got to make ends meet and I'm the only breadwinner in my family. There are young boys going to hell because you so busy. I got to go, because this is going to be the kind of preacher we're going to get on. He said, send me a man.
Amen.
Look, can I tell you why I'm the man that I am today? Doug, can I tell you why you're the man you are today? Because you had a man. Y'all ain't talking to me. I couldn't stay on drugs. Because every time I would look at Quinn and Quinette, I didn't want them later on in their life to look behind and say, Daddy, you were never there. Y'all ain't gonna talk to me, y'all. You were never there. I didn't want to hear that. So I had to strain my life.
Come on, Bishop. Bless you.
My daddy worked at the incinerator. That's where you put the garbage. He cut the white folks' yards during the daytime. Hey, bro. He worked all night, and then during the day, he'll say, come on, go with me. You going to work with me. Is teaching them a work ethic. See, y'all used to this Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego stuff. I'm trying to tell you that our country is perishing. I told you on Father's Day, I had every woman in this church to stand, and I wish them happy Father's Day. Wanting to be bad.
Go ahead, baby.
Macho. I'm not putting you down, brothers. Because most of the men I have here sitting in front of me are real men. But you got to show up a little more.
Because
you can't go to battle. Y'all ain't talking to me. You can't go to battle while you at home watching the game and the playoffs. You got to get out on the battlefield. God needs some men out on the
battlefield. Go ahead.
I'm gonna take me.
Preach,
but let me get me some gas.
Preach.
I say it cost him a bit more.
Go ahead, Bishop.
I'm always going to hospitals. And I asked the mother, where's the dad? I'm glad to be there, ask the bishop, ask the pastor. But I'm looking around, mama, for the dad. Because it's one thing I understand, that men don't just make babies.
That's right, Bishop. That's right, Bishop.
But men take care of it.
Yes.
Men don't just say that they gotta change life.
Yeah.
But our actions are shown, or our word is shown through our actions. Y'all ain't talking to me. See, in this 13 year of our ministry, before we get over in this brand new cathedral, we got to have some more men.
Hallelujah.
Okay, y'all ain't gonna like me. Because I watched, and I looked out, and I saw Brenda hauling garbage cans. Y'all ain't gonna talk to me. And Ted Wilding and Freeman and one or two others. If that many were the owner, why send me a man? Well, I know I'm preaching. You ain't gotta say that. Send me a man. Okay. Yeah. Yeah, I like it like this. You know, I got to send me a man. I don't need no man walking down Leonard Square with his hand in another man's pocket. Look at me. Look at me. Because you nasty. Y'all be looking down. You scared? And that's the problem. And what happens is, because there are no men available, watch this. God will call somebody who we least expect to fight the battle. Y'all ain't even talking to me. Y'all ain't talking to me. I got it. God will call somebody who we least. He said, send me a man. So nobody will fight. So Jesse says to David, says, now, I want you to take your brothers something to eat. Three of his brothers, Eliab, Abinadab, and Shammah, had gone out to fight with Saul. And so the daddy said, look, I want you to take them and get them something to take them something to eat. Said, take them this ephod, it was like a burlap sack. Take them this ephod of grain and take them these 10 pieces of cheese. I'm about finished. Give me a minute. David, minding his own business, goes down in the enemy's camp. And the Bible says that the Philistine was drawing closer. That's what it said. And the people were afraid. Here comes David. And now his brothers say, what are you doing down here?
Come on, Bishop.
What are you doing? David heard. Oh, y'all missed it. David heard two voices. Listen, come here. David heard the voice of God, and he heard the voice of the enemy. Nobody would move, Fentress. Listen, could that be the problem? Ask it. Play some Beethoven for me. Come on. No, that's not Beethoven. Play me some Beethoven and Shabak. play me some Stump Town, you and Elvis. Play me some Stump Town. Come on, quick. I'm preaching. See, y'all are ministers. Play me some Stump Down gospel music. Come on, get up.
Give them a good behind whipping. You know what I want to say. They'll leave you alone.
y'all cussing folks, trying to look around, you know what. Look at some accent. Fire. Fire. Hey, fire. Fire. I got to go. Queen, welcome back. Flight to the region. That's it. That's the picture. So David said, I'll fight. Here it is. Saul, listen to me. Hey, look at me. Over there in the choir. Saul takes his arm and puts it on David. Takes his arm, put it on David. David looks at Saul. I mean, now what happens is that sometimes folk will give you advice when God has called you to do something. But you got to know what God told you to do and how he told you to do it. Y'all ain't ready yet. Look at me, evangelist. See, you can't preach like me. I can't preach like James. Y'all ain't talking to me. See, the problem is too many imitators in the church. Y'all ain't ready for me in here. You got too many people trying to be somebody else. So God said to David, you fight the giant. So here comes Saul. He said, okay. All right. Here. Puts on all of his armor. David looks at him and says, I can't use this.
Come on, Bishop.
No. That giant is coming to me with a sword, y'all ain't ready, and a spear. See, your enemies, tell somebody that I can't fight with what you give me, but I got something that you don't have. Now, David takes off of Saul's armor, and now, listen, don't miss this, he's naked. He has nothing but him, look at me, and God. Amen. Look at somebody and tell them, can't nobody get me out of this but God. I'm trying to help somebody in here. Tell somebody what I'm in, can't nobody get me out of this but God. Come on, somebody help me here. Y'all know this situation that I'm in. Can't nobody get me out of this but God. I got myself into it, but can't nobody get me out of this but God. God called me to it. Can't nobody get me out of it, my God! I'm sorry. There are some giants, financial, relationship, employment that you can't get out of by yourself. I used to be going. I thought somebody would pick up my coat right now, but that's cool. See, that's why I say about these folks who follow me around here. I don't know what I'm saying. Leave it down there. See, that's what I'm talking about, y'all. We together, don't think we together. I'm gone. Listen, I gotta go when I say this. I gotta go because I've kept you longer than I did on communion Sunday. But look, it's gonna help you. When I was going to pick up my crack, this was my administrator at the other church. Come here, Shad. This, he was at Tabernacle, what Johnson is here. only thing he didn't turn against. And he would come to me and he would say, Pastor, he would say, if you need to go somewhere, I'll take care of things until you get back. But look at somebody and say, can't nobody get me out of this but God. I wish I had somebody shout with me. What are you involved in? Tell somebody, can't nobody get me out of this. Oh God, I wish I had somebody say that. So can't nobody get you out of that situation but God. Y'all looking at me like I'm crazy. Wait a minute, I got to go. God, I got so much to say. So, David is, in a real sense, on a battlefield unarmed.
Right. Yeah.
Butt naked. Ain't got nothing to fight with. But this is where need and faith kiss each other. Y'all ain't talking to me. See, there is a place in your life where you can get and your needs can become so great that faith kicks in. Y'all ain't talking to me. It was the need of Moses to get across that Red Sea that his faith was strong enough to put up the wall and say, I'm getting ready to go. Joshua had a need for the walls of Jericho come tumbling down. So his faith kicked in. David had this need for this giant to be slain. What's your giant? That's all right, dude. What's your giant? You faced with a financial giant? What is it? Some of y'all come to church. I had a brother ask me the other day. I was getting my haircut. I say I was getting my haircut. I do have some hair. And he said to me, he said, Bishop Carswell, and I'm gone when I say this. If the church is so anointed, why are the people in the church still in bondage? If God is a God of prosperity, why is everybody broke? If he's the joy of our salvation, why are there so many sour folk in the church? Y'all ain't talking to me. If you make a way and we're singing it every Sunday out of no way, why are we shouting on Sunday and then on Monday we all work?
All right.
What's up with that?
What's up with it?
David says, you come to me with a sword and with a spear. But your weapon ain't gonna work. Y'all ain't ready for it. Tell somebody the weapon won't work. Because you gotta get to the place in your walk with God that no matter what you're confronted with the enemy or by the enemy, you got to understand and have it in your bosom that no weapon that is formed against you will be able. No, I ain't gonna hoop today. Y'all want me to hoop? I ain't hooping. No, because I understand one thing. That I've been confronted, mother, with giants in my life. And I wanted to get my gun. Oh, you didn't, okay. You wanted to get your knife. Or you want to go get your boys. But can I tell you? weapons of our warfare are not carnal. We don't use the same weapon that the world uses, but they are mighty unto God to the pulling down of strongholds.
David said, I'm going to get you.
That's what in essence he was saying. He says, I'm going to feed your head to the carcasses. He pulls out what God gave him to use. What do you have that God can use for the deliverance of his people? What do you have? Five smooth stones. I told the Lord, I said, Lord, I give you everything I got.
Come on, preacher. Come on, preacher.
Hallelujah. And you see me sometime coming here. I told him this morning, I wish you could be in the doctor's office sometime when you're telling me when your heart's skipping beats or your pressure high. You need to get away for a while. I look at that doctor and say, hey, I know another doctor.
Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord.
I know somebody. Does anybody else here know
me? I know.
I know somebody that'll keep me where I'm weak. I need some help right here. I know somebody who will lift me up when I'm torn down. And I got a witness here. I know somebody who will guide me and pray when I'm on my way to new ministry. About me. He keeps me. He walks with me. Y'all see my mama right here? She be worried about me. My baby. She always thought, how you doing? What are you doing? I was now to the parole division all day Friday, Thursday. Got walking up at me and said, you don't feel good, do you? Why you keep on coming? Look at somebody and tell them a charge to keep. I ain't got no help with that. Shake your hand like you're shaking it off. Say a charge to keep. I have. And I got a God to glorify. And if God don't keep me, I won't be kept. Because some of the friends I knew, they couldn't keep me. They smiled in my face. Y'all better get me out of here. I feel like preaching. So he pulls out and I'm gone. I sit right here. I'm gone. Shh. Five stones. Why five? Because it said that Goliath had four of the brothers. So you gotta have some extra anointing in your bosom. Cause the giant's gonna keep on coming. So you think there are folk that are gonna be hating on you. But you gotta keep that anointing with you. You walk with the belief that I'm gonna be all right. And if the Jets don't want me, Dallas want me. If Dallas don't want me, Miami want me, my homeboys. If Miami don't want me, Green Bay want me. I'm prophesying to you. I see a mansion, cause I'm coming to them. Cantico, a little bit, okay. So, I'm coming to them. God just showed me this big, thank you, baby. This big mansion. Oh, God. No, you didn't. No, you didn't. No, you didn't. Not only one here, but one wherever you want it. See, I got a God that'll give me not only a home where I am, but he'll give me a summer one. Y'all ain't talking. See, you stay where you are. I have me a retreat. I'm happy. He might even let me live out on the lake. Somebody find me a yacht.
All right.
A 4-bedroom yacht. Oh, y'all ain't talking. I'm dreaming now. Because if you ain't got no dream, you'll perish. Somebody find me a Rolls Royce Phantom. Y'all ain't talking to me. Look at somebody and say, I'm going to lay my hands on my property today. Y'all ain't talking to me. I'm getting ready to put my foot. Somebody stand up and help me here. I'm getting ready to lay my hands on my new Mercedes 550 in the name of Jesus. Singing. I need to do so. Be encouraged. No matter what's going on, you make it alright. You're too slow for me. Too pretty for me, come on. But you gotta be strong. Yeah!
In the process, what God is doing
forming us like the potter does the clay. You got to get to the point where you tell him, take me. Break me if you have to. And remake me again just like you want me to be. Look at the person next to you and tell them I'm praying for you. Because I know you're faced with some giants. But look at them and tell them you can make it. This is not the hardest battle you have been through. Tell them this is not the hardest. Come on, look at them. Some of y'all are so bad. Tell them if you made it through the last, you can make it through. Somebody may want to come down here today. That's all right, brothers. That's all right. That's all right. God sends us through storms, through rain, to make us. I don't know who I was preaching to today, but I know that giants, they come all the time. And you may be faced with one today, but your life is not over. As a matter of fact, it's just beginning. David slew the giant. You can slay that giant. That giant. Yeah, you made a mistake. You know what? I got to go. You know what? I'm glad I met David again while preparing this sermon. Because out of all that David had done, out of all the mistakes that he made, do you know what the Bible refers to him as? A man, Greg, after God's own heart. Can you imagine? So you're looking at one. Look at somebody and tell them, you're looking at a miracle.
Looking at a miracle.
I may have made some mistakes.
Looking at a miracle.
But you're looking at a miracle. And today is the first day of the rest of my life. Come here, Willie. Tell me how much money I need. So keep standing and don't get out of the spirit. I need $4,000. I'm not going to stand here and desecrate the spirit. But I know this morning I asked God and told him what I need. And he said it was done. I won't disrespect your encounter with the divine. But somebody today may want to bless. If you can just write a check or drop it in the mail or call me and say, Bishop, come pick it up. I got some business persons in here. I'll give you a tax-free, tax write-off. Help me out. I got to have this by 12 noon tomorrow, 4. Or if I didn't need it, you know. If I had it, I would ask you for just 4 more thousand. I'll be down here at the end of service. And if you've got something that you can contribute to that, you could just put it in my hand. Look at somebody and tell them, I need you. You need me.
We're all a part of God's body.
Stand with me. Agree with me. Y'all pray for me. I've been under the doctor's care extreme. I haven't even told my wife and children. Again, pressure problems. Y'all lift me up in your prayers. Came in here today quite not feeling good at all. And So keep me in your prayers that the Lord will be with me. We continue to pray for our dear Cheryl Dorch's brother and all of those who stand in need of prayer. Continue to lift them up. I bless you, Minister Westmoreland. I bless this choir. And I bless each one of you today that your ladder will be greater than your former. And that as you walk, that you will walk in victory, that you will understand that you are not the tail, you are the head. You're not the last, you are the first. You're no longer the victim, but you are the victor. And now may the grace of God, the sweet communion of the Holy Spirit, rest and abide with us forever. Everybody said, oh. Yeah.